Grateful to Dave and leaders for this opportunity to speak. Appreciate the dedication of those come out on a dark and stormy night to be where God's word is honored and taught. Those of you expecting Billy Graham to fill in for Steve tonight, I'm glad you're here. You're probably disappointed. But please don't break my heart by going now. I do not like to preach from a full text. I did that once very on in my career, and Monday morning I was down at the building getting ready for the next week, and the janitor was there. And he pointed, didn't say anything, usually does. Finally, standing no longer, I said to him, "Well, brother, what did you think of that sermon Sunday morning?" Well, I never did like written sermons, and this one wasn't worth reading. So I didn't try one again until tonight. For the last 6 months, my heart has been doing strange things to me. And I'm not sure how far I can go. And so I've prepared a full text in case I can't go further. Jim can finish it. Dave assigned me as a topic to fill in the gap between the testaments. And then I missed the Sunday where he wound up his sermon, his series of them. And so there's a certain amount of repetition in here. The Old Testament curtain falls on a tragic scene. The 50,000 to 75,000 Israelites scattered across the countryside, and the pitiful little building they built, they called the temple, bore no resemblance to the glories destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar 70 years before. It took 20 years to build the temple. And as dedication, the older generation wept sad, mournful tears. Brother Davis led us through the pre-exilic prophet ministries, and they constantly have two strains. They warn of the severe destruction that's coming, but also God speaks of a glorious reconstruction. They point to a glorious day when God would send the word, sometimes called a bee. He would send the word throughout the world and summon people from all nations. On the return, they'd rebuild the temple, restore the holy services, and God would again dwell among them. This was God's intent, and it was thoroughly within the realm of possibility. But carrying it out depended on human beings, and that's where the rub came. On the strange thing, the pagans did their part well. King Cyrus, impressed by a prophetic word he read in the book of Jeremiah, issued an edict that any Jew who wished to can go back to Jerusalem and live. In addition, he ordered the return of all the instruments taken from the temple stored by Nebuchadnezzar. Now, obviously, the Ark of the Covenant wasn't among them, or we wouldn't have had that wonderful series about search for the Ark of the Covenant. He authorized them to cut the timber, provide exemption from taxation, even gave revenue to support this return back and building the temple. All this was later supported by King Artaxerxes and Darius Numbers 1, 2, and 3. Now those who accept the invitation return to a desolate region. The land had been out of cultivation for 50 to 75 years. Put that in context. Remember your lawn or your kitchen when you came back from 1 week's vacation? This has been out of cultivation for from 50 to 70 years. And now it's inhabited by nomads, if at all. There were no houses, no fences, no grazing for the animals, nor wells from which to draw water. The stone pillars that marked family and tribal plots had long since disappeared. If any vineyards and olive trees had survived, they were knotted, diseased, bug-infested for years of neglect. And by the way, where was this magnificent temple? The old folks in exile had enthralled them, talking about the magnificence of the temple.